welcome to the Apology Show. I am your host, Harry Balzac. Rudolf Hucker hasn't been seen since Saturday after receiving a new kind of groin strain in the form of an inadvertent vasectomy from a teammate. The rest of the crew is in here in Emergency Ward 2, Binary Wing, as I'm afraid that we all took several for the team at the weekend. I, for example, got RSI from pulling my trigger. God, Lou's not even here and I can hear him snigger. With me in this ever-so-mixed ward I have...
I'm Wilma Fingerdo, and I've got a blood blister where the lid of a Medikit box shut on me unexpectedly.
I'm Juan Kerr, and I've got a fungal infection from all the moisture that built up in my suit as I was running around.
And I'm Norma Snuckers, and I cracked a rib from laughing at Vantion. Sorry.
I'm not really here, remember? Okay, as I'm the only one who's uninjured apart from feeling terribly hurt that I can't play, I guess it's up to me to say, on with the headlines. Sorry, all your base are belong to us.
Pilots Federation Egg on Flossie. Sorry, that should read Egg on Flossie.
Sorry, was that your power regulator?
We'd like to apologise for the conflagration on board.
Sorry, after you. No, after you.
Sorry about the size. It's cold out there.
Oh, sorry to hear that.
Getting distracted. You might be sorry.
And I'm definitely not sorry about our community events.
Hutton Orbital Incident Report. Date of incident, on or around 3rd of April 3307. Location, Newton City. No, the other one. Type of incident, well, a bit of everything really. Reporting officer, Mia Harkness. Following on from Saturday's base attack and the conclusion of Alpha Phase 1, this seems like a good time to stop, contemplate, and apologise for some of the things we've done. You won't be surprised to learn that we have a list. Commander Flossie would like to apologise to Commander Vantion for mistaking her gun for a camera, shooting the Apex shuttle with Vantion on top, causing it to lift off, and for him to be pureed. Well, not pureed exactly. Think more of a lumpy sauce or a potage. Yes, death by potage. Eros Maidland would like to apologise to Prophet 5 and ground-based janitorial staff for a mix-up between his thumbs and fingers, which caused detonation of a frag grenade in a small room. More potage. Ground-based security staff would like to apologise to Commander Solid Flossie for shooting her while she was hiding in or behind a cardboard box. Sorry Flossie, they thought you were a Trumbull. Commander Littlebreaker would like to apologise for keeping his Apex driver waiting while he succumbed to oxygen depletion 4 metres from Salvation. He stayed too long looking at space cucumbers in those views. Well, they were to die for. Commander Vantion would like to apologise to Strike Team 1 for offering to be a distraction while still wanted. He stood in front of the guard to be scanned and, well, alarms, gunshots and explosions, dropship solo commandos, more gunshots and explosions, cracked visors, screaming and shouting, potage, and then medevac to the nearest prison. And now we move to the Rampage Apologies, Volume 1. Commander Rampage would like to apologise for mistaking Commander Butterspoon for a Frontline Solutions Commando and shooting him in the face, repeatedly. Commander Rampage would like to apologise for blowing up Commander Vantion with a pineapple that had a grenade in it. Again, our thoughts are with the janitorial staff at the base. Commander Rampage would like to apologise for going full army on a base just as the day shift ended and before the night shift started. He will be missed. But wasn't missed by base security, whose aim was spot on. This, again, was Rampage's fault. Commander Rampage would like to apologise for the bumming smell in Commander Snoswell's Apex shuttle. Commander Rampage was experimenting with ship surfing. Ship surfing rule one, don't stand on top of a thruster exhaust. Commander Rampage would like to apologise to Commander Hoff for doing a Trotsky and ice picking her in the back of the head. It was probably him who blew up her shuttle as well. Commander Rampage would like to apologise for the outrageously overcompensatory codpiece on his Maverick suit. That is all for this week.
Avid listeners will remember last week's news that the Pilots Federation favourite pilot, Flossie, had won a prize in some kind of photographic competition where she showed off her red-hot stuff to all and sundry. And the prize was to be something that she could use to cover up, or at least her ship. It appears that the design department of the Pilots Federation is almost entirely taken up with drawing artists' impressions of new forms of planet-based life, bizarre hairstyles for pirates, and choreographing conga lines through starports. So it's not surprising that the lack of creating the prize winner's paint job was left to an office junior, Neil Buchanan, who took his impression from his breakfast egg, which he dropped whilst getting ready to soft boil and dip in his commandos. Commandos are like soldiers, but crustier. Like all great artists, Buchanan thought that that'll do and sent off a quick snap to the paint shop before using a laser rifle to cut off the top of his second egg. Of course, the paint shop couldn't use an egg for the ship-sized design. Well, not one from a chicken at any rate. This one requires an Apiornis egg. If you don't know what one of those is, you weren't paying attention when we covered it in the Galnet Food Digest on Christmas Eve 3306. Seven people were needed to manipulate the egg into position in the giant crane. No, not the bird. And the countdown started, after making sure that everyone was ready and in position so that when the egg cracked, the yolk would cover Flossie's ship perfectly, leaving an even coating that would turn a lovely shade of golden brown next time the ship approached a sun that was set at gas mark 7. 5, 4, 3. No spoilers, but I'm sure you know how that ends. And the egg was released from a great height, naturally on a 1G planet to make sure that the drop could be completed in under a week. Just as Flossie sneezed, shouted, "Oh bother!" reached across for a tissue and nudged her lateral thruster. No, that's not a euphemism. And unfortunately, made a complete pollux of the end result. Although Flossie does say that she likes it that way. I refer you to my earlier comment about a euphemism. Whatever the intended outcome, Flossie's asp is very distinctive. Oh, come on, what was I saying? Are you five? And stand by. Wait for it. Certainly makes a splash. Sorry.
Many of the pilots who've been taking advantage of the new Odyssey flight simulator have been earning credits by taking missions for various factions, some of which involve powering on a base, using invasive techniques such as cutting open panels, then legging it before getting shot for their pains. You'd think that the inhabitants would be more grateful. After all, once you've inserted the power regulator, these cold, dark, silent places wake up. But if you're not careful, there is a bit of a light show and unfortunately a few klaxons, which are admittedly a little loud. Now, this is all well and good, but have you looked at the mission boards when you get back? I bet in the short time it's taken for your taxi to return to Hopkins, a new mission will have been added, asking for a power regulator for the base you just fixed. Are they kidding? Is someone selling the regulators on the black market, or are there missions somewhere being offered from other locations that require someone to go and steal a power regulator? After checking that these missions are not from the Sisyphean Corporation, Hutton Orbital has investigated. And after sorting through a large pile of bodies and dropped ordnance, has come to a conclusion. The people in these bases just don't want the power back on. Perhaps they're suffering from a mass hangover and the lights and klaxons are giving them a blinding headache. Perhaps they've been taken over by a space entity that is photophobic, and zombie-like they're trying to re-establish the darkness. Or maybe they just fancied a day off work and claim my alarm clock didn't work. We suggest that the next time you're looking at the mission boards, you think long and hard about whether you really need those credits. Whether you're prepared to suffer the consequences, and just how funny is it to watch them all running around blinking in the light?
The fleet carrier Everest, containing Commander Dog's Breath as the head fuel rat aboard, as it performs vital refueling and restocking missions in the coldest parts known to man, has had to put into a local, nothing's local where they are, shipyard for repairs after a substantial fire engulfed by a fireball, said one Galloway broadcast as they showed a video of a column of flame. Two vessels on the landing pad were destroyed, we suspect loitering, and only half of the engines are working despite a reboot repair of the module. The cause of the blaze has not yet been established, and no link to any Marlinist faction has been established. The fire may have been the result of storing Lavian brandy too close to the engine room. We did warn them. Even with the dangerous nature of the event, no personnel were injured, and we send our best wishes to Commander Dog's Breath and the other crew, and we'll keep you up to date with any news.
Forms of greeting have changed much over the years, from the growls and whoops made by man's ancestors whenever they found a tall, upright, rectangular slab of black obsidian, to the ugh sounds used by so many early cavemen as shown in the historical records. Or cartoons to you. Once language and various forms of clothing came along, greetings became more sophisticated, none more so than the handshake. This has been used for such diverse ends as showing you don't have a weapon in your proffered hand, as you sneakily bash the person over the head with the club held in the other. Also for passing bribes in a not at all obvious, honest gob, not me manner, or trying to establish dominance over a rival by crushing their hand in your vice-like grip, or for pulling your hand away at the last second and raising your thumb to your face to demonstrate that you didn't intend to shake their hand at all, and that you really are still 8 years old and still find that kind of thing funny. Historical records show us that the handshake died out around the year 2020, but these days no one is entirely sure why. The curtsy, the greeting card, the rubbing of noses, bowing at the waist, all died out naturally, and the tipping of the hat had faded into folklore long before spacesuit helmets would have rendered that awkward, if not downright dangerous. One modern greeting that we expected to outlive all of Hanky's clones was the simple but effective 07. And you need that when you're passing somebody at the many, many times the speed of light. That left-handed salute, beloved by sinister characters, and argue over at any length by the dexterous. No one would have believed in the early months of the year 3307 that 07 would disappear so suddenly and so comprehensively, almost overnight, disappear to be replaced with the Alpha Bob. This is not a macho pilot named after a sailor who had a woman's parts, my lord. Nor is it a reference to the kind of haircut that works so well in a Maverick suit. No, this is the action of crouching down, much as a submissive chimpanzee would do in front of another alpha. See what I did there? Then standing up, possibly followed by a pirouette or two. Repeat as often as necessary to get the other person's attention. Be careful when performing this maneuver. As if too close to the other person, you may get a sudden, unexpected view of the inside of their skull. And that's never a good way to start a conversation.
One commander, studiously inspecting the sights in Adityan, currently used for the Odyssey simulation, has worryingly reported that out there in the real galaxy, there is absolutely no sign of any of the settlements that people have been using in training, despite the promise from the Pilots Federation that following the end of the simulation, that we'll be able to visit these places for real. With no space bulldozers, space theodolites, or even space portaloos on any of the sites, we are forced to conclude that work has not yet begun on building, and that some serious shortcuts are going to be required. Searching back through historical records, we have come across mention of prefab buildings that were used extensively in the mid to latter 20th century, in which walls, floors, or even whole rooms were created off-site and put in place where required. Major General Construction Limited, which lists a certain Nocte as its chairman, is believed to have landed the contract to 3D print the building, which we'll all be able to take advantage of when the time comes. We do, however, have some slight concerns. The Major General is not famous for his attention to detail when it comes to matters of scale. We all remember his gut incident. And these fears have been compounded when we heard that Commander Claire Helen has been charged with staffing the new bases once they've been made. On the plus side, the value of any shares you may have in LEGO are about to go up.
2 days ago, Galnet announced that Federation begins anti-terrorist monitoring, and highly advanced algorithms will scan all data transmitted across public and private networks on a system-wide level. The bad news for the new program of intelligence gathering is that they are testing it in the Odyssey simulation. And, looking at the system chat, there's not a lot of intelligence being shown there. As commanders, many, many commanders, while away the time in supercrews talking to each other and trying to outdo everyone by demonstrating who has the smallest vocabulary. The people developing the algorithm have had to be hardened against sweary, sweary chat. They have been forced to take blood pressure medication to counter the very high salt levels and have contacted forum moderators for advice. We could have saved them a lot of effort. If you want to catch terrorists, you need to add, "Are you sure?" as a second question after, "Are you a terrorist?" Then when they slip up, you put them in jail. This is known as the capture method.
I don't know who it was that said, "A week is a long time in the Hutton BGS," but it seems that some of you have been a little distracted this week. Last week, we were blue across the board. No adverse states in any system, albeit with a small cloud of civil unrest on the Wolf 359 horizon. And a week later, we still have civil unrest in Wolf 359. So instead of spending ages in an Apex taxi, twiddling your loadouts, or browsing the shiny but unaffordable stock in Pioneer Solutions, or even being ripped off by that trader guy at the bar, why not jump into Wolf 359 and space some pirate scum? Despite the distractions, only two systems are below 40% this week. The usual suspect, Barnard Star, suffered an infrastructure failure, taking it to below 30%. And Kakari is just, well, Kakari, bumbling along. Excuse me, I've just been handed this. Breaking news, the infrastructure failure in Barnard Star is over, so still get over there and restore Hutton influence, which is only 27%, with the Sol Workers' Party behind on 20%. On a positive note, Epsilon Eridani is recovering nicely from the rebellion by the Mad Monks of Van Marnen 3 weeks ago. At the top end of the Hutton League, four systems are a tad high in the 60s, but grossly overachieving with almost 84% influence is LP532-81. Would the system custodian of L532-81 report to the janitor's office at 0600 tomorrow in fatigues and knee pads? They should bring their toothbrush and inform their next of kin that they'll be home late until they understand the meaning of 40 to 60%. Expansion was triggered from LHS 340, and once again, we've misfired and expanded into somewhere else we don't want to be. Lord 26. So again, after rudely bursting into the wrong system, Hutton nodded its apologies to the controlling player faction, the Minutemen, assuring them that it was all an unfortunate mistake, while backing sheepishly towards the door. On the way out, Tool for Electronics Corporation picked a fight with us, but hurt their hand whilst attempted to throw a punch, and then their other hand as they tried to open the first aid box. The war currently stands at 2-1 to Hunton, so truckers should help Tulfa Electronics Corporation in their efforts to evict us from the system before they do themselves a massive injury and evict themselves. Oh, lordy lord. Oh, no. More breaking news coming in, and it's 2-2 in Lord 26. Keep helping Tulfa show us the door. In Colonia, Maharaja Hanky reports that there are no adverse states, so continue to work and drop exploration data in Duriso and Tier at Dolo Depot. We still need to leave Hotel Carson and Ari, where complaints have been made by the bar staff that commanders have been trying to pay for drinks with graphene and carbon plating. These have been politely but firmly refused. It's just cold hard credits, folks. Hutton were down to single figures of influence but are now rising again, so spare a couple of hours to grab a couple of non-Hutton missions and lend a hand to check us out. Priorities this week: if you want to truck something or run some influence missions, help out in Barnard Star. This system really needs a 15% boost into the 40s. And it has large pads. If you want to shoot something, kill pirates in Wolf 359 or fight for Tulfa Electronics Corporation in Lord 26 against Hutton. We still need to exit Carson and Ari, so help any of the factions there except Hutton. Or bugger it all and pew pew in the Odyssey Alpha Phase 2.
Here's the news of events fun for the community by the community. Firstly, the New Pilots Initiative is organising a Thargoid-themed event. They say, join us this weekend starting at 2300 UTC on Saturday 10th of April over at the Stellaris Invicta in Melier for an atmospheric tour of the Thargoid lore in Elite Dangerous. We'll be in either private group to instance better for those who are joining us. We'll be visiting and activating an unknown device in a surface site, visit and learn about some attack settlements in the area, and finishing the tour with a multi-goid event. Phase 1, Thargoid Tour. We'll be visiting some points of interest in the Pleiades Nebula. Bring an exploration ship with a fuel scope and an SRV. If you don't have materials for synthesis, bring an extra SRV. The carrier will be jumping to Delphi for Phase 1 of the Meat of the Thargoids event. Phase 2, Megaship Multigoids. We'll be jumping back into the bubble via the fleet carrier to check out a damaged megaship for some AX combat. Details are in their Discord in the event chat channel at https://discord.gg/newp. Eris Maid Lung's lost the plot. The fleet carrier FTM Isfahan is still stuck, and like the Lotus Eaters of the Ancient Odyssey, the captain of the Axiom or the captain of the Golga Fincham B Ark, Eros has been content to put his feet up. Which is ironic, really, since he was spending all of his time experiencing a running about simulation trying to wake up someone called Peter and leaving his carrier in orbit. The commander says that he intends to move the carrier to a new location tomorrow. That was Friday, if you're listening to a repeat. And we think that that's because of local littering laws, as the ship is now surrounded by empty tonic bottles since he left the free bar and he entered the telepresence suite 2 weeks ago. Our two galactic exploration events are progressing nicely. Our first report is from Commander Mephisto, conducting the luxurious fleet carrier-based Comfy Cannon cruise, which is revisiting the 124 waypoints of the Cannon Challenge, and he sends this report. In the fourth week of the Comfy Cannon cruise, the Khonsu entered the realm of the Bullet Mollusks, in the vicinity of NGC 3199 Nebula. These creatures float through Lagrange clouds between crystals, and some species can suck an exploration ship shield in seconds with their lightning strikes. Thankfully, only one encountered started gnawing at the hull afterwards. For something completely different, One Waypoint had two Guardian ruins as the first official archaeological features of the cruise. When Commander David H&B attained his elite exploration rank, the passengers and crew all celebrated, first with the Lavian brandy and then with what else the bar had in stock. The cruise is next going to the outer reaches of the Milky Way, which gave a few passengers second thoughts about the undertaking and made them leave for the bubble before it's too late. Deep space exploration is not for everyone, even if it is comfortable and without the need for doing the jumps yourself. Keep up with their progress at bit.ly/ED3C. Our second expedition epistle is from Commander Hunter, who is leading the 5-Euro Tours expedition for pilots who want to see the countryside as they travel, not just the inside of airports, as it were. Hunter says, "The fleet is arriving at the Galactic Centre this Saturday, the very core of our Milky Way galaxy, and we've scanned over 115,000 planets along the way. Our 5-Euro Tours Beluga flagship flew through a Lagrange storm cloud the other day, and its passengers were finally able to charge their holopads after it was struck by lightning. Information on this expedition can be found at bit.ly/5EuroTours. Finally, a reminder of Commander Velleran's Baz's Big Bubble Banter Bus Anniversary Tour, a nightly event departing from Hill Pass High, starting on Monday 26th of April. Fleet carrier services will be available at each destination. This is your opportunity to relive the highlights of last year's tour, or to see what all the fuss was about if you missed out the first time around. Details on our events page, and remember, it's all for the Grand Baz. That's all for this week, and please remember to get in touch if you hear of any new events coming up.